I want to speak to you this afternoon from the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and I'll read the first 11 verses to begin our studies. And as always the case, when I read a passage of Scripture, there's always more than I know what to do with, so I'm not going to try to bring out all of them that the Lord has blessed us to see in this passage, but with the Holy Spirit being my guide, I want to bring you some points that I think will be valuable to us today. And I do want you to be aware that one of the main themes of the book of Joshua is possession. That word possession, some form of that word, is used about 27 times in the book of Joshua. And that's the whole theme of the book. Joshua is going to lead Israel into their promised possession, that God gave them and promised that He would help them to conquer the land as they went in. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now the book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess. Now I want you to notice that this book, this chapter, begins with the word now. And that connects us to something that has been said previously. If you go through the book of Moses, you'll find out that the book of Genesis, it just begins in the beginning. But then the other books have a connection to what is said before, either and or now, with the exception of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law, so it's almost like a separate book. But when Joshua begins by saying now, I think it would put us in mind that there's a change in the times or change in dispensation. They had been under the leadership of Moses and they had come this far, but now Moses is dead. Now Joshua is the leader, and Joshua will bring the people into the land of promise. So there's that connection and marking the division of time. But I want us today, this afternoon, to read this now, because there's a message for us now. I believe that's true of all of God's Word. If we search and diligently follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we'll find a message that is for now. And it is vital now that God's people take hold of their possession. Take that spiritual land that God has given us. I think we get very comfortable sometimes. And we say, you know, I'm a member of the church. I go to church. every Sunday or every time it meets or whatever the case is. That's kind of a problem when we go to church, because we are the church. And every day now we are to conduct ourselves as the church, whether we're assembled together, where we're on the job, or whether we're in school or whatever our activities are. We are the church of the living God, and we need to conduct ourselves that way. And we need to get the message that Joshua left at the end of his life. God's Word tells us of all that Joshua had conquered. And it says, yet there was still much land to be possessed. There's always more that we can take hold of. And I believe in this passage of Scripture, we can find some principles that are valuable for us now to take hold of our possession. And I want you to notice that we're told that God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Commandment is given to Joshua, the leader of God's children, the, in a sense, the captain of God's host. You know, Joshua met the true captain, Jesus Christ. I believe Joshua met Christ. But then Joshua was given the task of leading the people in as their leader, as their captain. And these instructions are for the man Joshua. And yet he receives these instructions to give to Israel. This is for all the people. Although God spoke to Joshua, he said, now you take all of these people into their possession. And he reminded Joshua, first of all, and I'm not necessarily going by order here, but he reminded Joshua and the people that God had given them a gift in the land of Canaan. He gave them an actual land. And the land was described as flowing with milk and honey, a rich land. God promised that he'd go with them and give them the land. But it was theirs to take. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So it's yours. You've got the title to it, but you'll enjoy just as much as you go in and possess. Is that not true of the gospel kingdom in which we live today? Some of my favorite scriptures, and sometimes the one I'm reading is my favorite. But Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our possession and our inheritance is in Christ. Just as God commanded Joshua to lead the people in, then Christ has led us into this land of promise. It's ours. We've got a title to all spiritual blessings. In the book of 2 Peter, in the first chapter, in the third verse, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. All things that pertain to life and godliness, they're ours. That is our deed to it, God's word. But you'll enjoy just as much as you go in and possess. Now let me say this about a gift. Whatever attitude you show toward the gift is really the attitude you have toward the giver. If you treat the gift lightly, if you lightly esteem the gift, you're actually lightly esteeming the giver. And I believe it troubles the heart of God when we take lightly these gifts that He's given us. When we... You know, we're children of the King. He owns the cattle of a thousand hills. He's abundantly rich. And we walk around like we're paupers sometimes, spiritually speaking. We're sad and woe is me. There's just so few of us, and we're getting old and we can't do much. And we go down all these complaints. God help us if we fail to spend the riches that we have to glorify God. So we have a great gift that God has given us. You know, I've never been to the land of Israel, and I don't know that it's the same today as it was in those days, because God blessed it to a greater extent, I believe, when the children of Israel were in obedience. But I understand that much of that land is very rugged, very inhospitable looking, very mountainous, very rocky. And yet God called it a land that flows with milk and honey. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 32nd chapter, I want to begin reading at verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, He separated the sons of Adam, and He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, you go back in the book of Genesis, and following the flood, when Noah and his sons came out of the ark, they went in different directions. The Lord divided the earth up among them, and He gave each one of them their portion and their place in the earth. But I understand this is saying God did all that with an eye to Israel. He picked, first of all, their place, and He picked the place that was suited for them. And our inheritance, our personal inheritance in the kingdom of heaven, is chosen for us by God. And it's suited to us. It's just, I've been studying and preaching about the whole armor of God. That armor is fitted to each one of us personally. And it'll fit perfectly if we just put it on. And our inheritance is suited for us exactly by the all-wise and all-knowing God. But I read on, for the Lord's portion is His people, and Jacob is the lot of it, is His inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about, He instructed him, He kept him as the apple of His eye. As the eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth her wings abroad, taking them, bearing them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and the rams of the breed of Bashan, and of goats, with the fat of kidneys and wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape. He made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. You ever tried to get honey out of a rock or squeeze oil out of a flinty rock? But God is able to do that. He's able to take that inhospitable and rugged land and make it as the Garden of Eden and provide all that God's children need. If we look at the kingdom of heaven today and look at all the challenges before us, it looks pretty rugged, doesn't it? Sometimes it looks pretty inhospitable. Looks like the world is against us, and it is. But God is for us. And when God blesses us, we can draw honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. God is able to bless us. But He requires of us to act in faith and in obedience. So, remember that God gave a gift, and then He gave a command. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and this people which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. There again, they were to arise, get up and go over, and then possess the land. You know, when I was in the Army basic training, I had a drill sergeant that I think was the loudest human being I've ever encountered in my life. And when he came in the morning to wake up the troops, he came in roaring. I mean, he was loud. And some mornings, he'd come in with a metal garbage can and clanging that lid on the can. And there were mornings when if people were still in the bunk when he got there, throw them out on the floor and turn the bunk over on top of them. And it didn't matter if they were on the top bunk. If they were in that bunk when he got there, they were going to the floor. Well, I caught night patrol with that sergeant one night. I was his driver. And for a little while, he put away that drill sergeant facade, and he was almost human. And not long after that, he caught me in the bunk one morning. And how I slept through his coming in and getting that far, I don't know. But that morning, he walked over and nudged me on the shoulder and said, "Did you have duty last night?" And I said, "No, drill sergeant." And he said, "Well, you better get up and get dressed." And I said, "Okay, thank you." Kind of got to know him, and it was a little bit different. But I say that because I believe for a long time, God's been kind of nudging us on the shoulder. And I believe we're due for a drill sergeant wake-up. And it may not be pleasant, but I can assure you it's going to be effective. And that, I believe that's what God was saying to Joshua then. Arise, wake up, and do it now. There's an imperative. You know, God gives opportunities, but He doesn't give them over and over and over again. So we're to arise, get up, and go over. He said Moses is dead. You know, Moses, in many ways, Moses the lawgiver, Moses represented the law. And you know, the law can't enter into the land of promise. The law has no place in the gospel kingdom. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 24. "Wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, for we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, where there is neither Jew nor Greek, where there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise." Just like Israel was heirs of that the land of Canaan because God made a promise to Abraham, we're heirs of a spiritual kingdom because of that same promise. That we're the children of Abraham by faith. Now, God's law was good for what He gave it for. And there are lessons that we can still learn in the law of Moses. But that law of Moses entailed ceremonies and offerings and going through all these things. A man didn't have to have faith. He just had to know that this was required and there's a penalty if you don't do it. So you just go through those motions. It's different when we walk by faith. We claim those promises that Jesus Christ has given us. Chapter 4 and verse 1 of Galatians says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." We're no longer children. We're not under the schoolmaster. We're under Christ. And we're mature individuals. And we're to arise and go over this Jordan. Jordan, in many ways, is a symbol of death. And if you follow the path of the Jordan, it comes down through the Sea of Galilee and empties out and goes down into the Dead Sea. And if you fail to cross over that river, then it's going to lead to death. And I'm not talking about being lost and going to hell or anything like that. I know that you understand that. But you'll die to the joys of the kingdom. You'll die to a relationship with God and God's people. And you'll go around like many of us do, sad and dejected, and living like paupers, because we failed to cross that river of death. Jordan is a descender. That's what the name means. So it always leads downward, and we've got to cross that. Then, after God had reminded Joshua and the people of His gift, given them His command, then He gave them a promise. Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." God says, "You're not going in alone. I'll be with you every step of the way. And my promise is with you that I'll give you what you need." You know, one of the blessed things about God's Word, there's some things that are kind of subtle in the Word, and sometimes you don't notice all the promises that God gives us. But I was thinking about when God commanded Noah to build the ark and make that ark for the preparing of the deliverance of his family. Before a drop of rain ever fell, God called Moses, and he didn't say, "Go into the ark," but he said, "Come into the ark." God said, "I'm already here. You come on in with me." Mm-hmm. And then the Bible says God closed the door. And our experience is going to be that way. God is going to be with us wherever we go. God is going to provide for all our needs. God is going to protect us. God is going to be with us. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43 and beginning at verse 1. "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine." Let me pause there for just a minute. God reminded Israel, and he called Israel by the name of Jacob. He said, "Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." He created Jacob the man, and from Jacob the man he formed Israel. And I believe that's a picture of the natural man and being changed to the spiritual man. And God was there in every bit of that process. He created these natural bodies. He created us natural beings, but it was for a purpose, that he would change us into Israel, those overcomers with God. So God is in the process all the way. And then he said, "I have redeemed thee." You know, the word says Israel sold yourself for naught, but I've redeemed you. God has bought us back. And again, it is for a purpose, and that is to glorify him. And then he says in verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the fire kindle upon thee." And notice he didn't say, if you pass through the waters, but when. We're going to have trials and tribulations. Can you find anywhere in this word where God says it's going to be easy? Now, I confess that my life has been easy compared to a lot of others. Nobody goes through this life without trials and tribulations. But I can look back in the lowest points of my life, felt like I was all alone, but I can look back and see that God was there. You know, some of my plans was foiled and I was so disappointed. I can look back now and say, "Thank you, Lord, that my plans were not fulfilled, because he had a much better plan for me than that." He's always been with me. And then verse 3, he says, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life." God put his people above all other people. He sacrificed the firstborn of Egypt so that he might deliver his children, Israel. Because God loves his people. And Brother Selva can tell you how long God has loved you. It's with an everlasting love. There'll never be a time in your experience where you're not loved of God. You know, I think of my parents sometimes, and there's a lot of times I didn't think they loved me. But I can look back now, and they needed to love me a little more with that kind of love, I think. God will chasten us. God will correct us. And you may go through times that you feel like God does not love you. But his word assures us that he's loved us with an everlasting love. And that's where faith comes in. You know, God didn't tell us to walk by our feelings. He didn't tell us to walk by what we see. But walk by faith. Believe in what God tells you. And he's promised that he loves us. He'll always be with us. Verse 5, "Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name." Now get this part. "For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." That is our purpose in life. That's the reason God created us. That's the reason God loved us, is for His glory. I challenge you to listen to some of the modern day preaching, the televangelists, and all those, even the religious movements that are made, and you'll hear a message about how much God loves you and what God will do for you, but you don't hear very much about why God loves you and what He's doing all those things for. It's so you'll glorify Him. And that's why we're to take hold of our possession, so others can see how much God has blessed us. So we'll have a testimony to tell people, I know joy in life because I know Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we were created for. I'm going to give you one more passage in closing from the book of Hebrews. And most of you will probably know where I'm going. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let your conversation, that's your lifestyle, your manner of living, be without covetousness. Now that doesn't necessarily mean that we're not supposed to be greedy for money or something like that, that we're not to be covetous in that regard. But it means that we're not to be desiring something that we don't have, something that God has not given us already. It's not like some that will say, Lord, if you'll give me a good congregation, I'll go preach for you. Lord, if you'll give me a good automobile, then I'll travel and go where you tell me to go. Lord, if you'll give me something else, I'll do it. You take what God has given you, and you take what God has given you and use it to His glory, then He'll give you more if you need more. But just be content with the things that God has given us and use them in His service with the promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Then we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. May God bless us. May God give us a greater desire for our possession. And may God give us a zeal in taking hold of that possession for God's glory. And that's my prayer for Christ's sake.